It's time to find out what's happening in the Park City. Tony and Melissa chat with Bridgeport Mayor Ganim now on WICC 600.
Bridgeport Mayor Joe Ganim, he's here.
Good morning. Can you hear me clearly?
I can hear you clearly. Can you hear him clearly?
I think you sound great, Mayor. Thank you so much for taking the opportunity.
Okay, Mayor, we learned parks, playgrounds, basketball courts, they are shut down until further notice. What made you change your mind on that?
Well, actually, it wasn't a change of mind, but it was a gradual a gradual process that started with, okay, the parks are closed to vehicles and no gatherings. We reduce gatherings consistent with the state advisory or order from down to 50 people. Then we went in conjunction with some other cities locally and said 10 people, and this applies beyond parks. And then we saw a constant gathering. And so there's nothing that will replace the decisions that err on the side of being cautious for health reasons. There's nothing more important than us being diligent to get beyond this health aspect of this crisis.
So,
you know, there's a lot of people that, I'm sorry, I just wanted to just hit one thing because I think it's important. I'm willing to take questions on this too. There's nothing that's going to get us to be able to look at the economics, the businesses that are closing, the people that are out of work, the financial implications of this, which are going to lag long and long until we get our arms around collectively as a society doing the right thing to limit and get beyond the apex or the peak of this health pandemic. So that's why every decision I make will go through that filter. What is it that's the best for health? And that was the decision on closing the parks to the extreme that we did.
Oh, no, and I think it's a great idea. My question was going to be, so what's the deal with beaches at this point?
Same thing, but here's where we end up right now. People have to live within this safer at home, stay at home. We have beautiful parks, and if they go to the park, which they can do, and walk and demonstrate social distancing, get fresh air, jog, walk a dog, take your children out, and so on, and not gather, not use these as a place to say, okay, this is where we break kind of the formal informal rules on social gathering, then we're fine. So to stress that, we'll do everything we can up to the point of even giving, we've given tickets to cars along St. Mary's and so on, where people are parked and they're not supposed to be after those parks were closed for that kind of parking. But we'll give them to people if we have to. It's not where we want to be, but we want to stay kind of where we are now and be a little bit better than we are now. We're below the radar to a certain extent, at least by location and by numbers, by compared to 50 miles from here, the apex in Midtown Manhattan. So we want to make sure we do everything we can within our borders, and I think our counterparts around the state are doing the same thing. And keep people safe and keep getting the message out. And thank you for allowing me to come on this morning. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to the listeners.
Hey, Mayor, we love you, man. We want you here all the time. Are you kidding me? We love you.
Our
telephone number is 333-WACC. That's 203-333-9422. Feel free to give a call and ask the mayor a question on COVID-19 and how it's affecting the city. You know, but Mayor, it's all common sense. You know, I'm not the brightest guy in the world, and I've always said this, but when it comes to playgrounds, especially basketball courts, why would you want to play in a basketball game when there's five or eight guys, whatever it is, and they're sweating and they're falling all over each other, knowing that this virus could be easily passed?
Well, I think we're probably to that level of awareness. I certainly hope so, that everybody's on top of this. There was a point in time, though, where I went into a bank and people were wearing gloves, and I'm better at it now. I'm wearing them all the time outside. And someone said, why are you wearing gloves? And they weren't even aware that this was something that should be involving taking precautions for all of us. So I think we're at that point. I think younger people, you know, they're dynamic. Young people are dynamic and invincible and all that. And so they think, what the heck, you know, this is something that the rest of society's got to deal with, older people, hospitals got to deal with it, and so on. But me, I get it, but I'm, you know, I can still go out and play basketball. I was hesitant, frankly, to close to the level we did because I didn't want people, not two or three people from a distance, to go out and be able to enjoy themselves. But I think there was a point where we had to get the message out a little bit more emphatically, a little firmer, and that's what we've done. Speaking of getting the message out, just let me do this a couple times on the show because I think it's good for all of us. At 12:30 every day, and WICC covers it live, we do a podcast. It's called, it's referred to as a remote town hall for your listeners that may not know about that. And we try and give daily updates, starting with the numbers and the health aspects of what's going on in Bridgeport and Connecticut and even in the tri-state area because we're affected. Sometimes we'll talk about where we are, things we've done, the closings, as you mentioned, with the parks. And we'll constantly do that to keep residents, businesses from Bridgeport and beyond, as the largest city in the state and here in Fairfield County, informed. So 12:30, it's at Joe Ganim on Facebook for those who know how to use it. If you don't know how to use it, you can call my office, or I'm sorry, ICC will keep you. You can listen on WICC. And my office phone number for anybody who needs help, as much as we're at stay at home, I'm stay at home and then I'm stay at the office because we've got a man these operations here with a skeleton crew. It's 203-576-7201. That's the mayor's office. And we have the best here, and there's only a few of us, but except for me, I guess the rest of them are the best.
Well, we appreciate that, Mayor Ganim. And yeah, like he mentioned, if you don't know how to use Facebook, we do have that live here every single day on WICC 600. We are getting some questions in. Just give me 1 second. I've got it here on our Facebook page, Mayor. Let's see. We've got a question right now from Valerie. It looks like, if my computer would cooperate with me. Okay, here's a question. She said, how is minimizing the number of people coming together to 5 going to affect food distribution at schools? Good question. So we talked about with you, Mayor, yesterday, actually. I think you addressed it on your Facebook Live that you are seeing the numbers uptick almost on a daily basis, more and more kids going in to get their breakfast, lunch, dinner, which is amazing. But when you talk about gatherings of 5 or less people, which is what the governor enacted, how does this impact people going to get their food and distributing it to the public?
Well, the school district has done a phenomenal job. We did a public service announcement. I think it's Aaron on ICC, just thanking people, whether it's the police and fire, people that work in the grocery stores, our distribution of meals to students, healthcare, first line defense in this thing. And that's what's happening with the distribution, the consistency and the continuation of the distribution of meals through a federal program that Bridgeport participates in that allows for meals pretty much throughout our district, meaning all the students, for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And so when we went to remote learning, which means if you're not a parent with children at home, that your children are learning at home either with paper and pen or pencil, or hopefully laptops as we begin to get more and more for our students, you're allowed to come to any school. You don't have to go just to your school, but any of the schools that are distributing meals. And you can pick up all 3 meals at one time between 9, I think it's 1 o'clock, between 9 and 1 o'clock. Come, and there is social distancing there to get to the answer. There is social distancing there practiced by the employees and practiced by those that come up. So you'll stand maybe, I don't know, 10 feet away at the end of the sidewalk, and you'll come up and you'll get your meals. They're brown bags, grab and bag or bag and grab, and walk away with them. So it is practice there. And I was there, I think it was, I can't remember if it was this Monday or late last week, with our superintendent, with those that were distributing, the real heroes, the ones that were there kind of fighting this fight on the, as we say, on the front lines, and with our U.S. Senator Murphy, who came to see how the program was working. So it's working. If you're a parent or you have children, or a guardian, and you have children in the school district, you don't want to cook at home. It's a lot to go out. I know it's a lot to go out every day, but if you go out, you get those meals. You have 3 meals a day for every one of the students.
But we're not seeing crowds like on the sidewalks. I mean, how many people are going to get these meals?
I have not, and I was out there. I did not see crowds. If there, as you say, crowds or a line or more than a few people. And I didn't see that, but my expectation is they would be asked, if they're not doing it themselves, to kind of practice social distancing. We're trying to do it in every instance that we can in our lives, and that encourages that visual of people. And I've been a little bit more rigorous, even with the few of us that are in City Hall here, even when we do our podcast, to spread out, wear gloves. We're going to put a written protocol in place for people that are participating in activities either connected with or sponsored by the city, and that would extend to the Board of Ed, a protocol, and make sure they have gloves. The masks situation is, you know, there's different philosophies on that. I think it's important where you can to utilize them, although I don't think that would be a mandatory thing because I think the people are wondering exactly how that works. But we want to have the supplies, the gloves, these hand sanitizers, wiping stuff down is all part of the protocol I want to reinforce. So thanks for the question.
A couple of questions come through with the telephone here, Mayor. What's the status of the Port Jeff Ferry? Do you have any information on that?
Yeah, I haven't had a question on it yet, so I haven't checked that they've, you know, I haven't heard that they've changed their status. It wouldn't surprise me, though, if they have reduced the number of schedules, and I don't want to say that because I don't know that. So maybe while we're on the phone, I can check it out. But I don't know. I haven't heard anything. They've sent us no notices about changes. So I'm going to at least leave it now, and if I get a different answer while we go, before we get off the phone, I'll give it to you on the status of Port Jeff Ferries for transportation. I know that, you know, the transportation of people traveling, thank goodness, is down dramatically. If you go on the highways in either direction from Bridgeport, if you have a glimpse of what's going on at the train stations, you see there's nominal activity, which is what we want right now. So we appreciate that. It's a real good sign that people get it, that people care about each other, and are doing what they should be doing. So I'll try and get you an answer while we're still on the phone.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Mayor. We also had a question from Janet. She called in over the commercial break. It's about daycares. She heard recently New York had changed their standing on how many kids can actually be in a daycare center. We know Governor Lamont had limited it to basically 10 kids in daycare centers earlier this week, actually. Any idea in Bridgeport what the status is on your kids going to daycare, if the amount of kids being there or anything, if anything like that has changed?
We haven't done anything beyond what the state has done at this point. We try and stay in sync with Governor Lamont and what the state's doing, that protocol. They have a level of experts that seem to be giving a good direction on the health aspects to the state administration. We rely on them, but we have our own. Sometimes Bridgeport or in other cities, you'll see, are taking even stronger measures to a certain extent. And we haven't done that in this instance, so we haven't heard that that was something we should kind of react to. So that's the rule right now. If something changes or we come up with issues, we'll address it kind of like we did with the parks. We were probably the first community that I know of in the state to shut down all city business dramatically a little over 2 weeks ago on Monday morning. We sent out a notice Sunday evening saying stop, don't come in, and stay tuned for further direction. Trying to be as, I don't know what the word is, cautious as we could. Some people thought it was an overreaction at the time. I felt, no, why bring everybody back into the building, thousands of people gathering together, when maybe in 2 days we're going to send them home, and then we could have a number of cases unintentionally impacting government operations. Thank God so far we've been able to avoid that, and we'll continue with that kind of frame of mind.
All right. We're speaking with Bridgeport Mayor Joe Ganim. Hey, you can connect with us on Facebook. Ask your question. You can call us at 333-WICC, area code 203. You can get your question on that way. Mayor Ganim, Ida asked on Facebook, what's the status on shelters and PPE and toilet paper?
Sure. I think it's better than it was, at least locally. We did an inventory yesterday through my office on what was available, at least city side, on supplies. I don't want to say PPE because the respirators are a whole different issue, and I'll touch on that. But our internal inventory is to ensure, at least from one perspective, and this is that our first responders have what they need in order to do their job. And then we've extended that to those that are asked to come in to do public service in city government, and that the protocol is to have gloves and of course, the sanitizers and everything. The toilet paper, you know, we joked about that a couple times with a lot of the blah, blah, blah coming out of a lot of people all over the place. It'd be nice to, you know, ensure that we have enough toilet paper. But it's one of those things in the store when you go in on a regular that is in short supply. The shelves could be empty. But I think if you time it right, the good thing about the stores, and I'm going to give a plug for the workers in our grocery stores, because we forget that, you know, they're kind of concerned about their own personal safety, too, with so many interactions, that they're stocking the shelves every night. So that whole panic, I don't want to say it was a panic, but that whole concern that people had, let's go fill up two shopping carts, as we saw the first few days, and make sure we're stocked at home, which I'm sure for many was a smart move because it minimizes how many times you got to go out and that you have food at home. We don't need that panic, that they're going to restock and continue to restock. I don't think we've seen or heard anything different than that, locally, nationally, or anywhere. So that's the good news. I did get a call from the president of the union who represents the workers that go in every day to the grocery stores. And you think, oh, that's, you know, what's so tough about that job? Well, they interact with, get bumped into, get broached in the social distancing by hundreds of people every day. And from what I hear, they are worried and concerned as well about them going home, as everyone is when you go home. What did you bring back home from your interactions if you're on the front line or just out there kind of helping keep the society, the system, whether it's food, whether it's health care, whether it's law enforcement, whether it's 911, keep it working. So they're in that box, too. Shortages, if there are any areas, I want to know about them. We're in constant contact with our healthcare advisors, our healthcare facilities through our emergency operations center to make sure they have stuff, which is not contained in the question, but you hear this nationally. It's part of an issue for us in Connecticut, too, and we hope it doesn't become a real issue as the ventilators. That seems to be where the biggest challenge lies. And then, of course, I'm going to give my plug for don't throw the gloves, especially the gloves, but even the wipes down the toilet. Everything goes in the trash. Bag it in the trash. Don't throw gloves on the street. Mm-hmm. And let's go from there. Those are kind of the things you don't even think about.
I believe we've got a couple of people on the listener line that mm-hmm. want to ask a question in person. Who do we
you
have?
Know, before you do, just advisories. Due to the reduced travel volume, there's an abbreviated schedule for Port Jeff Ferry. I know you just did an ad for him. So there is an abbreviated schedule. You can see it online. It's changed some of the times. You can still do online reservations and the ticketing system to book your trip by clicking buy tickets when you get there. So I'm not going to list all the times, but they have an abbreviated schedule.
Okay, thank you, because I think that was Pat who had asked that earlier. So thank you for that update, Mayor. We appreciate it. First, let's go to Terry. Terry has been waiting a long time to talk. So, Terry, what is your question for Mayor Joe Ganim?
Yeah, the tax office. And also, do you know anything about the checks we're supposed to be getting?
I do, both. So the tax office is, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Me?
Okay. The tax office is we've closed. We don't want people coming in the building. Nothing against people. We're just trying to be healthy for everyone. But if you need help on that, in other words, getting tax information, if you can't do it online, and I got to tell you, I wasn't good at this before, and you know, some of them get paid by the bank, but even my car tax and so on, I go online and do it. So if you want to do that, it's real easy. You go to the city's website, you know, City of Bridgeport website, and then on the right-hand side, you'll see the bars, and you click tax, and you can look it up by your name or your property and so on. So that's my first suggestion. I find that so easy. And if you're home, like most people are, I'm at the office now, we went home, you know, I take my time and I fumble through the stuff online to get to where I need to be, and then you can pay online if you want to, and you get information. But if that doesn't work, and you can't get through directly, 7201-203-576-7201. If you called right now, my office could probably walk you through that or get you direct information, Terry, if that's helpful. On the second question, I know some of it, but I don't know it all. That's a federal program that was put into place. It's a little confusing to me whether we have to do anything if we filed our taxes already. So what am I saying? If you filed, I think it's off the 2018 tax return, because a lot of people didn't file 2019 yet because
yes,
it's not April 15th.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that was last year. Well, most people who pay taxes filed it last year or are getting a return filed last year. They're saying, and let's play this through and listen closely when we're looking stuff up, that you don't have to do anything. If you had a refund that was direct deposit, that you'll just get appeared in your account maybe $1,200 in the next 3 or 4 weeks. The other end of it is that they will mail out, I'm told, checks, but it'll take a bit longer. So if you file 2018, do you know, Terry?
I think we may have lost Terry, but I think she's going to call your offices directly.
All right, 7201. 203-576-7. And by the way, I always hear, love hearing, you've been around so long, WICC, 333-WICC, all the way back to, I don't know how many years, you probably know that there, but it's just been a part of Bridgeport for so long. So thanks so much for keeping the number and keep it going and being a source of information.
Yeah, all right.
We're speaking with Mayor Joe Ganim, Bridgeport. We're talking COVID-19. We now go to the listener line. Joe is there. He's got a question. Joe, what's your question?
Good morning, Mayor. I'm a small business owner in the city, and I own a couple of pieces of property. And I have a little sewer problem. I have to replace a pipe. So I had contracted a contractor 2 weeks ago, and he's having a problem getting permission or getting a permit to actually start the job. What do we do?
Yeah, that is a problem, and we're solving it as follows. We've taken proactive measures through our economic development office, which oversees building and permitting. And so the easiest way, one of the easiest ways, and then what you probably could do if you want is call my office. We're going to give you the number right in the other room, and they'll help us walk through it and get your number and all that kind of stuff. But you can go online and on the Bridgeport website, and I'm going to get the or the email address, which I'm going to get you now, and contact them. And they will do it by appointment if you can't do it online. You're not the only one with this problem. I mean, everybody's got little construction projects going on, which are okay, or bigger ones. We have big developers that are doing things, and we're pushing those through. We don't want those to stop. The stuff that has to be stay at home and all that, but the stuff that can go forward, that's allowed to go forward under criteria like this, we want to go forward. So 203-576-7201. If you get off, give a few minutes, you want to call in. There's people here in my office, Maryland in particular, we'll get the phone, and we'll get your information to help work through that, which we want to do.
Mayor, we only have a couple of minutes left, so I want to get to a couple of questions. Tony's got one, and I have one from Carol. So Carol said last Saturday, the McDonald's on Main Street in the North End was closed, and her district rep posted online that an employee had COVID-19. As of Monday, the restaurant is back open. She asked, quote, is it realistic that they clean the restaurant that quickly, and shouldn't the other employees that work there be on self-quarantine?
Sure. I think the answer to both of those questions, whether closed or not, and that happened, is the first I'm hearing about it, and I didn't see the notice. But yes, I think it is, and I would expect McDonald's, a reputable establishment locally and certainly worldwide, would take precautions for the benefit of their customers and their employees. So I don't know particularly, but here's my guess is that they surely did, and they did sanitize, I hope and believe they probably would, or certainly would, and that they reopened and are taking precautions as well. So I don't think anybody wants to play games with this thing. This virus is a beast. It spreads in the blink of an eye, with a touch. I don't think anybody wants to contaminate anyone else or have their business be impacted or their family or anyone else. So I'm saying this without knowing exactly what happened, but I don't think it's unreasonable to expect that they did everything they were supposed to do.
All right, we're going to take one more phone call, and then we have to let the mayor go. Nate, what's your question for Mayor Ganim?
Good morning, Mayor Ganim. My question to you is, I live in Success Village Complex, and both my brother and myself have been affected by the virus via losing our jobs. He lost his job last Monday, and I just lost my job this past Friday evening. So that being said, my office sent a nice letter out to the members of Success Village stating, you know, try to keep your social distancing, and if you feel like you're sick, please notify the board, and if you believe someone is sick within your buildings, please notify the board. And at the very tail end of this letter, it states that your common charges are still due on the first of every month. Thank you and have a good day. Don't forget, if you do it, make your payment past the 10th, there'll be a late fee. I wanted to know if there's any provisions installed that be able to help people in complexes like ours, other than myself and my brother being out of work now. I know there's at least four of my neighbors who are out of work due to this, and God knows how many other people are being affected in this complex due to the virus. Is there anything, is there any chance you have spoken with them to see what they can do for its members similar to what the banks are doing with foreclosures and payments?
Yeah, I have. I do know that there's a practice now that is catching that there's a lot of deferments going on, and I have not heard about it directly in any places that have the common charges. My sense is, from what you told me, that your communication was just responded to with a generic, you know, response, but not looked at particularly. And my guess is that if you pursue it further with the board or the management company, that's success. And if you want help with it, we'll be happy to help you on a follow-up. But I would try yourself first, and then 203-576-7201. We'll be happy to call over and see what the status is. A lot of them are taking actions that say, okay, we know people's situations. We're trying to be flexible. But I have not heard that directly with, certainly not with success. It's the first time hearing about it, or with the others. But if you want to call, I'll be happy to follow up. Maybe they haven't gotten to that point yet. A lot of people are with the first of the month looking at modifications. So be happy to help if we can with that. But I would try again. I would try and make sure you get someone who's dealing with your particular issue, maybe just giving you a form response, which sounds like you might have gotten.
All right. And we do have a couple more minutes left before we have to let you go, Mayor. We do have Linda, who is on the line right now. I'd love to get to her question and get a quick answer. Linda, can you tell us what exactly is your question for Mayor Joe Ganim?
What's the status of your water pollution control bill? I'm trying to keep it. I'm not doing too well successfully. I'm a senior citizen trying to keep the water pollution control bill so that I don't get foreclosed on. And nobody answers at water pollution control.
Nobody answered today? I mean, last couple days?
No one answered. They just tell you they're open from 8 to 4 or something like that.
All right, yeah, we're on a skeleton, and I'm not sure who's over there physically answering the phone, so my apologies on that. I will follow up, but online is one option. The better option, if you don't mind doing it, and I don't mind putting it out there, 203-576. When we get off this call, you can call anytime this morning, 7201. And then you can even, if you have particular stuff, bills and stuff like that, you can send them, and we can try and do follow-up with the WPCA for you. So I don't mind doing that at all. My office is here. We have a few people. And Maryland can, in particular, can follow up. So 203-576, that's all the city numbers. And then 7201, that call should go through to Mayor's office and just ask for Maryland. Greater Bridgeport Transit just called. Reminders to riders, the buses are for essential employees or emergency purposes only. There's no crowding. And thank you to the drivers. Thank you to the drivers. So if you don't need to go anywhere, it's for employees. Emergency purposes are reminders to the riders for the buses. We greatly appreciate you listening to that call from Greater Bridgeport Transit and all that they do and their drivers. Thanks so much for the opportunity this morning.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you again. That's Bridgeport Mayor Joe Ganim here on WICC 600.